word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Please turn to page 96 of the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Allow me to read the words of God. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Amen. Jesus' miracle on Simon's boat taught many people to lose their superficial faith of trying to catch big fish from shallow waters and to live as true disciples who go to deep waters and draw the net down with with humble faith towards the Lord. Today's passage introduces of Jesus meeting with another person after moving on to another village. It's verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This man who met with Jesus today was suffering from leprosy. The name leprosy that is used in the Western culture, which is called the Hansen's disease nowadays, derives from a Latin word, lepra, meaning scales. And in the Eastern culture, we use the same Chinese character, na, that is used in the word nahulma, which means toad in Chinese. We believe the names have derived from the fact that leprosy patients had skins as rough and bumpy as scales or toads. In the current days, the Hansen's disease is 100% curable and rarely leaves any scar. According to a report by the Korean Hansen Welfare Association, only 10,843 subjected people, including 6,281 patients being treated for symptoms related to the Hansen's disease, are being taken care of regarding the disease as of end of 2015. And among them, 90% are over 60 years old. As such, Hansen's disease is no longer considered a fatal disease. In regards to the severity of the sickness, leprosy was considered a serious disease at the time, as much as people are afraid of AIDS in the modern days. The leprosy described in the Bible includes malicious skin disease, as well as the Hansen's disease, which sense of touch and skin is lost, and bodies are disordered. Those who suffered from Hansen's could not recover from it. But the malicious skin disease was sometimes cured. Because leprosy was considered to have occurred from God's curse, it is written in Leviticus that leprosy patients should not only make themselves distinguishable from other people, but also live by themselves and cry out, unclean, unclean. Let us look into Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. Leprosy was a disease that had to be strictly be distinguished, so even a king had to step down from the throne and be isolated without exception when he was diagnosed. Uzziah, king of Judea, who was also called Azariah, came to the throne at the age of 16 and reigned over Judah for 52 years, and the nation became powerful with the grace of God. And then Uzziah turned arrogant and tried to burn incense himself at the altar of incense inside the temple of the Lord, where only the priests were allowed inside. He was breaking the law of God. He was eventually punished by God and had to live with leprosy. Diagnosed with leprosy, Uzziah was ousted from the temple and was sent to live in a separate house, no longer able to carry out his duties as a king, and lived a lonesome life until the day he died. There are two events of Jesus healing patients with leprosy during his public life that have been recorded. One is written in Luke chapter 17, in which Jesus heals 10 leprosy patients who came before him. And the second event is today's story, which Jesus cured a leprosy patient who came before him in today's passage. The condition of this man standing before the Lord was already very serious, as you can see from the expression in today's passage, covered with leprosy. We can assume that this man probably had bumpy skin with distorted fingers, nose, and ears. Furthermore, he had to live alone, thoroughly excluded from his families, workplaces, and worship community because they were unclean. He was unclean. He was alive, but as good as dead. He lived day by day, grieving in sorrow and despair, with not a hint of peace in mind. And then one day, he hears that Jesus is in town. He went before Jesus with faith that Jesus, the Son of God, will be able to heal his sickness. Although there were all those many people who thought of him unclean and cursed out in the streets before he reached Jesus, he gathered up his courage and went to the Lord, passing them by. He did not say that Jesus must heal him because he had been living a pitiful and unfair life, but he acknowledged the fact that it was all up to Jesus to heal him by using the expression, "if you are willing," and asked Jesus humbly and earnestly, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reacts to the earnest wish of his leprosy patient as follows in verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Most people did not wish to be with this man with leprosy. And Jesus, who shares the pain with those in agony, wished to be with this man with leprosy, seeing and sympathizing with his pain and despair. No one can be free from death and illness without exclusion because of our sins. But Jesus shared the grief and pity, seeing the illness and death that people go through due to their sins. Such heart of Jesus is shown very well in John chapter 11, verse 33. In which Jesus shares the grief with those who are mourning over Lazarus' death. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus, who came to this earth to save the world, treated everyone without discrimination, men or women, young or old, rich or poor, from all classes. Because the Lord is like that, he laid his hands on leprosy patient to heal him, a man who all dared not to contact with in disgust for the man. This shows us very well that Jesus is truly the one who controls the death and sickness of humans, and that he is the one to save not only the Jews, but the entire humanity. The following passage tells us of what Jesus said to the leprosy patient after healing him, and the reaction of the people towards what Jesus said. Let us look at verses 14 and 15. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. It says here that Jesus ordered this man with leprosy, whom Jesus had healed. The original Greek word for ordered is parangelin, and is the past tense of noun parangelia, and it means an absolute order or instruction that cannot be rejected nor chosen. Jesus' order of what this healed man must keep Jesus gave an order to this healed man, and there were two of them. One was to show his body to a priest and give offerings to prove that he had been cured. This was to have a leprosy patient go to the priest and show his body so that the priest may announce that he is cleansed and be officially acknowledged that he is healed, and to follow the custom of the commandments of Moses of giving offerings to God and be recognized that he is clean again. The other order was not to tell others about this. Why did Jesus order this man not to tell anybody about how he was healed? The most important reason why Jesus, who came to save the world from sins, was to declare the kingdom of God and to save the souls of many. And he already knew that people who had seen the healings and miracles performed by Jesus, they would idolize Jesus as someone with a mysterious ability to solve their problems regardless of his true intentions. This was why he told the man not to tell anyone. Despite Jesus ordered the man strongly not to tell anyone after healing him, this man goes on to tell everyone about what happened to him. If we only read the story in the book of Luke, it just seems like the story naturally had been spread around after Jesus had ordered the man. But if we look into the book of Mark, which states more about this event in detail, we can have a better understanding about this. Let me read out Mark chapter 1, verse 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Jesus ordered the man not to tell anyone about this. But when we interpret the original wordings of the reactions of the man who was healed from leprosy, it says that he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. The former leprosy patient could not just hold it to himself of being clearly healed from his sickness by only telling it to the priest. So he went around showing off his healed body to others around him. His actions distorted and disobeyed to the words of Jesus, who told the man not to tell anyone about it. When we talk about the faith and courage of this leprosy patient, who was healed after coming in front of Jesus, we usually tend not to mention or highlight his actions of not obeying to Jesus' order after being healed. Also, people who listen to this story tend to say that they can somewhat understand the man thinking he must have been so happy he just had to go out and tell all those people about the mysterious experience he had, rather than thinking he made a huge mistake. But Jesus' words aren't something you can keep when you feel like it, when you feel like you can understand them or think is good and don't have to accept anything else you think that goes against your thoughts or can embrace. The words of Jesus, who is God, are powerful and with authority, just as they are. When Jesus met a man possessed by demon, Jesus ordered the demon to get out of the man, and the demon came out and went into the pigs. And when he rebuked the harsh storm to calm down, and the rough waves, and the storm quieted down. Demon and nature all obeyed to the orders of Jesus. But humans who were made in the form of God disobeyed, even though Jesus orders and has given us the chance to keep those orders. When a rich young man came before Jesus and asked for the way to earn eternal life in Mark chapter 10, Jesus told him to sell all his possessions to help the poor and then come follow Jesus. But the rich young man put on a sad face and went back home in grief and did not obey Jesus' words. We have spent many sleepless nights in pain due to our filthy, detestable sins, just like the leprosy patient who had been thoroughly isolated, living a miserable and desperate life before meeting the Lord, not knowing what to do. We have hesitated if we should bring our problems before the Lord, but eventually we pluck up our courage to go before the Lord with the assurance that only by standing before the Lord can our sins be spotlessly cleansed. When we stand before the Lord and earnestly ask for Him to forgive our sins and cleanse us, the Lord will value our earnestness and cleanse our sins with the precious blood shed from the cross and forgive us. We are now able to live in unspeakable joy and gratefulness from experiencing our unclean sins inside us turning clean with the forgiveness and love of the Lord. But after experiencing such amazing change, we often so easily distort the Bible and disobey to the orders and warnings of the Lord. We take our problems, feelings, and sentiments so seriously, and yet we do not have the desperateness to keep and obey to the words or orders given by the Lord as much as the desire to have our problems solved. Just like it says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. in 1 Samuel chapter 15, "The Lord is happier when he sees us fully obeying to the words of the Lord, even if they may be against what we want or intend. But we keep trying to disobey to his orders. We keep trying to put other things before God, not remembering the first commandment, 'You shall have no other gods before me,' or live far away from God, thus living on with peace lost in our minds as a result." The leprosy patient in today's passage distorts the Lord's order and disobeys to fulfill his personal greed and his want to brag after being treated for his illness. As a result, too many people crowded around Jesus, and he was not able to stay there to carry out his ministry anymore. People live so easily disobeying in this world. On the contrary, Jesus thoroughly obeyed to the words of God while carrying out his ministry on this earth and lived a fully obeying life. Let's read verse 16. "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Jesus lived a busy life, driving out demons and healing people. People flooded in to listen to Jesus preaching, and he could have showed himself off as much as he would have wanted to. But the more Jesus voluntarily and intentionally left for a quiet place to be with Father God. And there, he spent all his might to pray earnestly. Jesus built up a sincere relationship with God, calling him Abba or Father when praying. The prayer which Jesus taught us does not start by asking for daily food or work, but starts with calling for the Father. He lived together with God, remembering that Creator God is the Father and serving him as the Father. The reflection of Jesus thoroughly obeying to God serves as a great example for us too, who live in the modern days, drenched in busy life. We are trying hard together with many volunteer workers to make Yangwajin a silent and solemn site for meditation as we take care of the Yangwajin Farm Missionary Cemetery. We try to guide our visitors to meet deeply with the Lord through quiet meditation here, rather than emphasizing the great works of the missionaries or explaining touching stories about them. We can look back on the graves of the missionaries, remembering that it was all God's providence and grace that sent the missionaries to this gloomy land of Joseon to light up this place while praying in silence during the visit in the cemetery ground. We greet our visitors, remembering once again that God, who was with the missionaries, are now with us today, hoping that we all may live a life that can be well used by God. The Yangwajin Farm Missionary Cemetery, situated in the midst of busy city, is a place where we can meet the Lord in silence and meditate about him, which is why many people come to meet with the Lord here and determine to obey to the words of God. When we spontaneously and intentionally separate ourselves from the busy lives to move to somewhere where we can meet deeply with God and keep our sincere relationship with the Lord, we can also stop ourselves from misinterpreting or distorting the words of the Lord for our own good, and fully obey to the words. And then, while we stay in that quiet place, we surely feel and realize for sure that the God who has led our lives in the past with the arms that are never too short will forever be with us, help us, and lead us. Today is the first Sunday of Advent when we celebrate the birth of Jesus and wait for his coming again. Jesus, who is also God, came down to this earth in the humble form of human to save us humans. Jesus went to quiet places to pray. Even during his busy ministry life of preaching about the kingdom of God, healing the sick, and bringing people back from death. And even before dying on the cross, he prayed on the hill of Gethsemane, like he always did, and overcame the temptation and fully obeyed to the words of God. We will have to live a life of obeying to the orders and warnings of the Lord, the parangelia of the Lord, waiting for the return of the Lord as promised in the Bible, remembering the reflection of Jesus who fully obeyed to God until the day we stand before the Lord, instead of distorting or disobeying to the words of the Lord for our own benefits. Through the efforts of voluntarily and intentionally seeking our lonely places to pray, call God our Father, and keep a deep relationship for such purpose, can we win over ourselves in the ever-darkening world and live as true disciples who fully obey to the Lord? Let us pray. Gracious God, you came to earth, take on the body of a man to save us, the vulnerable nobodies who lived under the shackles of death and diseases due to sin, and to give us true freedom and joy. Although we have experienced the Lord's love and grace, too often we twist your words and commandments and live in disobedience. We give priorities to our problems and moods, and we demand earnestly that the Lord respond to them. But at the same time, when it comes to your words, we have failed to live with the passion to keep them. In the midst of our daily busyness, we have failed to keep your words in the depth of our hearts. We have tried to fiddle with your words and to make them more suitable to our tastes. We even fail to avoid the words willfully and hurt you. We confess all these many moments and repent them before you. Please forgive us. Help us to remember how the Lord voluntarily sought after quiet places in the midst of his busy works to call out to his Father, and was obedient to the Father out of his close relationship with you. We pray that we too, by close fellowship with the Lord shared in our prayers, will remember the warnings of the Lord. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.